house coat.
But I'm okay.
Okay.
We're going to start off by singing a stanza of When We All Get to Heaven. It's quite an honor to be here, in all seriousness. And I just put like 15 on here. Is that good? 20? 20? Oh, my God. We'll be worried. We'll have an offering before that. Don't worry. We'll have we'll have halftime yet. Hey, yeah. We'll have halftime. Don't worry. Boiler up, huh? Yeah. Okay. What? Again, it's an honor to be here. And it's always good to open up with scripture. I read a great scripture. That same heavenly host is trying to call me. There's one way to deal with this. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. And the pursuit of God's priorities, a heart that builds bridges. Now in theology, there's a discipline called bridging the hermeneutical arch. Bridging the hermeneutical arch. And what it is it's taking the situation in the life of the Old Testament, the situation in the life of Jesus as human, and the situation in the life of the early church called Sitzen Leben. And it's taking that situation and making it applicable for your and my address today. So what was done Old Testament, there's a correlation bridging the hermeneutical arch for today. What was done in Jesus, there's a bridge for today. And early church, there is for today. The most precious relationship that anyone can have is not with silver and gold, even though the Bible does tell us that money cures all things, but with Jesus. We are charged by Jesus to go, therefore, teach all nations to observe all things Jesus has commanded us. And we have a provision in there saying, and lo, I am with you always. Though it rain, I'm with you. Though it snow, I'm with you. Though death come, I'm with you. Though joy come, because joy always gonna come. Not just in the morning, but in the evening too. Happiness is conditional. But joy, the joy of the Lord, is our strength. And so what did Jesus teach us? That the Christian life is marked by baptism. That God is available to help us not give in to temptation. There is no temptation known unto humankind. That Jesus asks us to repent, that we turn away from wrong, that we confess our wrongdoing, that Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you great fishers of persons. You will be like a magnet, and you will draw others to you. Jesus charges us to that when we're weary, take up his yoke upon us. Learn of him. We're charged by Jesus that we are to take up our crosses and follow him. We're charged by Jesus to let folk know the kingdom of heaven's at hand. It's not necessarily saying the end of the world's coming today, because even Jesus, the Christ, said no one knows the hour or the day. There's some strange things happening here, but no one really knows the hour or the day. We were charged to have compassion for all, to help the poor, the despised, and the outcast. And really, brothers, all we have to do, my sisters, all we have to do is look in the mirror. Let's not get it twisted. When we look in the mirror, we see some poor, some outcasts. And if you don't want to buy, if you don't want to buy into that, then let's do some Pauline work. Pauline said, "For such were some." If we think we graduated from that, well, Paul did drop by and say, "For such were some of you," that we are to be sincere and not a hypocrite. You know, we just been saved for 2 days, and now we high and mighty, huh? And we only have a half a day where we can go right back and fall right back, and seven stronger demons can come and ransack our house. That we should have faith. And that's enough. That Jesus and God are one. We're not preaching a oneness here, but he did say, "I and my Father are one." And another occasion he would say, "None are good but the Father." Am I right about it? Am I still in the same? I'm in the good house? Am I still with you? Okay. Jesus warns, don't let family, anything, or anyone get in the way of following him. Even the dead. He says, let the dead bury their dead. We are to teach others that Jesus has law over authority over the law and tradition. And that Jesus Christ fulfills all Old Testament scripture. We're to teach people that we should love our enemies, not hate, and be reconciled one to another. What we're to teach, that we must become like a child to enter the kingdom of God, the realm of God, and that the disciples of Jesus our community of faith, members of the Christian Church Universal. So Mike, why are there so many denominations? I'm glad you asked that. The disciples were a holy club, weren't they? They were really holy. And they were walking with Jesus. And they said, "Master, there are people casting out demons in your name, but they don't walk with us. They're not presbyters. They're not Methodists, they're not Church of God in Christ, they're not Baptists, better get the Baptists in there, they're not Baptists, not Methodists." And Jesus would let them know. I probably missed yours, but that's okay, I'm sorry. You just say it, and then you're in there. And Jesus said, "Well, if they are with me and doing it in my name, they're all right. Leave them alone. At the time of separation, I'll separate." And by the way, friends, Jesus let them know, you weren't smart enough to choose me in the first place. You did not choose me, but I chose you. We you know, I think about, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Beautiful day, neighbor. Read the paper this Saturday. I'm giving you a little heads up. Won't you be mine? What a world it would be if we could just, "Hi, neighbor. I'm glad to have a neighbor like you." Isn't it interesting? Somebody can be in a liquor store. Somebody say liquor store. Oh, God. The wrath of God is coming now. And somebody can run out of money. I'm just telling you something I heard. Somebody told me this. And the person at the cash register will help this person in a situation where there was a veteran. And they had enough money for either bread or beer. Strange, huh? I don't know what they were going to do, but bread or beer. Didn't have enough money. The person started engaging in a conversation. And next thing you know, no one said, "We're going to take an offering." That man walked out with bread, beer, and some other things. Well, in a Jesus type of way, if that will happen, how much more should we do for our brother and our sister? We ought to tell people that a man who never sinned died to save the rest of us who have. That Jesus is alive. Go tell everyone else. And we are to tell, we're commanded to tell, that Jesus will be with us forever. The beautiful thing, then, you know, George points out, no matter if you have a PhD or no D, there is no one who can share your faith better than you. There's no one who can share your faith journey, your faith tradition as well as you can. On behalf of the trustees and the regents and everybody and everyone, I want to confer some degrees upon everyone here today. You have a PhD in you. You might not shout on that, but you have a PhD. Can nobody out you you? No one has been, if there's identical twins, no one has been the total route that you have been. No one can tell your story better. That means then that we as being members of this beautiful body, we are charged and challenged to share our story. But what will I tell them? Moses, who was that, Moses? But I'm not an eloquent person. Some folk can get up there and they can change the Bible. And in Revelation 37:3 and in Genesis 18. But honey, nobody can tell your story about when your dungeon shook. No one can tell your story better when you've seen the lightning flashing in your life and you heard the thunder roll. Nobody can tell your story better than when you hit rock bottom. And believe me, everybody's rock bottom the same. Different. I'm sorry, Chuck D. Everybody's bottom is different. But can nobody tell your story better about when you hit that rock bottom and whatever, and you said it's time for a change, Brother Justin. So we are called in this faith community to serve our towns, our cities, the world, in Jesus' name. We are called to build bridges. We are called to engage in the sits in Leben or Laban of our situation in life and how it lines up with the Bible and how we first came to believe. And what we are sharing is according to the Gospel of Ashford and Simpson. It don't cost you nothing. But just receive and repent. I was listening to that man's story in the back there. Wave your hand. You know what I'm talking about. Move me from a different place, but same connections. So God's not asking us to do anything. It's scary. Oh, it's very scary. I was reading the chapter here, and I liken it unto just across the room, Bill Hybels' book, Walking Across the Room. Evangelism is as simple and as scary as walking across the room. And our evangelism must be relational. When it comes down to it in that 0 hour and you have somebody out there and it's 10 below and they're on the corner and they're asking us what must we do to be saved, they don't need to hear what you've been hearing here right now, theological discourse. I don't know how well I've been doing it, but I've been doing my best. I did say sets and leave it. Laban. You want to do it. Lieben, Laban. Potato, potato. Let's call the whole thing off. Whatever. Yeah, it kicked in. It was kicked in. But what they want to hear from us is our at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens that we were carrying, heavy burdens, rolled away. They want to hear from us, it was there by faith. We received our sight. And now we're happy all today. They want to hear that it can be for you. They want to hear, well, do I have to wait to get the church to get saved and sanctified? No, let's do it right now. In my 14 years here, pastoring Wayman Chapel and so forth. There goes the clock. Don't know what time it is now. Like those tricks. You like those tricks? Man, got to start over now. Somebody, oh man, it's all falling apart. Somebody give me about 7 minutes and I'll be done. Don't have a Hammond organ here, so they can't bump me out in here. They want to hear, I want to be saved right now. I'm at my point of readiness right now. And be clear, the experts in evangelism, I love evangelism, but we miss the mark sometime. Because if we're just evangelizing all over the place, you know, Billy Graham the second, the third, God will permit some things to happen where we have to repent. Because if we're doing all that so well, God might say, Mike, I need to do, because you might begin to think you're me. Very simple story. I heard an old story of Jesus went to glory, save a wretch like me. Victory in Jesus, I feel sawdust in here, yeah. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me. But see, folk out here want to hear how he sought and bought you and me. Here's another way of let me make it more Christocentric. Whew. Let me share. I shared with you what Peter, I think it's Peter, what he said. But Jesus said this. Here's another way to point out to our brothers and sisters. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers, that's a group, isn't it? Right? Peacemakers, isn't that a group? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons and daughters, doing a little redacting, of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. Don't you know some folk who will lie on us like rugs? Persian rugs. Now tell that lie so well, everybody run out believing it. Blessed are you when rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. So finally, my brothers and my sisters, we as men and as women, as people of God, are called to take what God has equipped us with. We don't need Saul's armor. David didn't need it. He didn't want it. That was Saul's armor. Saul knew how to, work it. God has given us our own way of evangelizing, telling the story, inviting others, meeting them where they live, where they work, where they play, where they worship. Here's something I always do. I probably have about three minutes left. Whenever I speak in an August body, even the August body in March, you get it. You'll come. The attorneys, they got it. Yeah. I do a number thing. And I say, you know, my wife and I, and pray for her, she's been enduring me for a long time. Cadillac man, you know she has. We'll be married 40 years. I know. Oh, there's the clock. Saved by the bell. We'll be married 40 years, September 10th. And everybody said, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. That's nice. Then I say, well, we have a twin son and daughter who'll be 40 this year, too. Yeah, okay. But they'll turn 40 in July. Look at y'all looking at me. Somebody got their fingers out. Let's see. July, August. Hey, that's a couple months before September. Something happened there. Right you are. Then I ask the question, but can I still go to heaven? I leave her out of that, I just used her for a minute, but I move her out. She going to heaven. I talk with God myself. Gospel according to Genesis. Jesus, he knows me, and he knows I'm right. And all of a sudden, everybody regroups. And they say, oh, yes. Yeah, it's okay. But there was a pause in here, in the room. What? They were involved in fornication. Everybody can say the word fornication. Some of y'all been doing some fornicating too back in the day. Not me. I got my Bible. King James. No, I ain't messing with nobody. What happens is, though, when that happens, wherever room I'm in, probably, I don't know about here, what happened here, though. That everybody in here is saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking tongue, and if that's your discipline, That clock keep ringing. That's the second call. Third call, I'll be in trouble. And they'll come up to me and say, Dr. Carson, Mike, Pastor Mike, you, thank you for being transparent. Because brothers and sisters, when we get to this point, we become giants in the faith. Somebody can't touch this. We are the ones who, when we were little, we went to church and seen the elders. And we said, my God, holiness becomes thine house forever. But guess what? They were dealing with things too. And these were the sure enough pillars of the church. You might not shout me down, but I know I'm right. And now we become the pillars. Am I in the house somewhere, sisters? Am I right? Am I okay? Am I talking good still? And now we're in, like the communion table. Chief, as these leave, let others come. Now we're in those chairs. And our job is to do like those men and women did also. Sheriff, to do those like those men and women did too. Tell the truth. You can run Revelations to Genesis, that's fine, that's a gift. But what people will do, I see my bishop back there, he's looking at me now, getting ready to come pull my robe. So that clock trick was pretty nice, Mike, but that's all it is. We pay it forward. Somebody loved you and me enough. Whew. It's offering time now. No. Come on now. I got more time? That's dangerous to tell preachers that. Now, I played fair. I played fair now. Throw some more sawdust on the floor. That's all the world wants from us. I mean, we can be very eloquent. Attorneys in here can quote, you know, I guess, Black's Law Dictionary. But I guess that's right, right? Am I right, Corbin? Black's Law Dictionary. Something like, he don't have a degree. You're like me. You know, something said, draw me. So I drew it. I got it back about 5 times and finally said, here, you have a degree. Put it up on the wall. You pass. People just want sincerity. I look at my thing as a pastor. I liken myself unto Mayberry, kind of. People want a metropolitan pastor, country preacher. Huh? Now they want to know I'm going to Raleigh every now and then. They want to know that, yeah, okay, he has a degree on the wall. Maybe we questioned. Every church I've been to, they question the degrees. And if somebody tells me they got a painter, they better have a paintbrush in their car. I go along with that. But people don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And brothers, that's our responsibility. We are at the head. Huh? Well, if you're at the head, leave. Lead. Where do you lead first? In your home. Go out there and save the whole world, and your home is going to hell, careening out of control. He said hell. I work at the Y, you know. Jason, no, but I can't use that excuse, can I? And isn't that tragic? Now I'm not getting on nobody, but save the world. Tote board, bing, 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 bing. And yet, that means we need somebody for accountability. You know, Jesus knows all about it. He will guide when the day is done. We know all that, but we need somebody of flesh, men, that we can witness to. I told the story, and I think I'm coming down off the mountain lot after this, you know, at Judge Jess's funeral, home going. And while I don't smoke now, and I'm not on a soapbox with anybody who does, so don't worry. You know. You didn't shout real good on that one. And what we had promised each other was that this spring, summer coming in, I was going to sit out there in his backyard, and he's going to give me a big cigar. And Judge Jessup, you know, I was kind of looking forward to that. What people are looking for is realness. Amen. Now, let me give you one more thing. When someone gets saved, now I'm telling you stuff you already know, and they just want to tell it all. You already know this stuff. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel free. I got happy feet. You know. I'm gonna tell everything. Don't tell it all. Don't tell it all. There's something in the Bible talking about your private prayer closet. Thank God that you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking 21 tongues and all that. There might be 21, I don't know. Because what happens is when we bring them in, we are their mentors. Is this offering time now? Is offering time now? We take the offering now? No. I really don't have anything else. I'm kind of, you know, preachers have no. Yes, sir.
What
and raise his hand. I thought he got caught up. I thought he had got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Any questions then? Questions? I've been pastoring for 28 years now. 14 years of that was here in Kokomo. I've been blessed to, writing in the newspaper. I've been writing since 1991. Little column, little missive, I guess, maybe. Catholic, it's a little missive or something like that. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. So anyhow, the interview, the way it goes, you know, it's been so long ago. Arden Drager and John Wiles were interviewing me. And so everything was cool. And the last question, I don't know if it was Arden or John, they asked me, can you conjugate? And I said, yes, I can. I have a twin son and daughter. They said, you're hired. So, sisters, I've been conjugating, trying. Am I still okay? I need my counselors now. Just like in cycling class, I need my counselors in there to help keep me right. Plead the fifth. If it doesn't fit. So I've been conjugating since 1991. Been trying to conjugate since 1991. This man is coming in to talk about liquor stores, conjugating, beer and bread. How's that work out? What else? Yes, sir. Now we got something now going. Brother Fork Kelly, yes, sir. Yes, sir. My God. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Went to Benton Harbor to pastor, started my 10th year there. I never coached, but they let me get on the field. I walked the football field. I didn't football. I got to walk the field up there. And I would sit, you know, in the stands, the basketball games, and, you know, do some real coaching like Pecos and all of us do now. We go up in the bleachers back up there and we do real coaching up there. Went to Indianapolis, and Donnie Bowling, Coach Bowling, he said, Great, Pastor Mike, great. I got a seat on the bench for you. And that was 4 years ago. I got a seat on the bench for you. And I said, Donnie, I coach bowling. I'll drop by sometime. That ship has sailed. I thank God for Coach Wade, because a couple of those last 2 years, I was flying by the seat of my pants, being there, here, there, here, there. And the witness was getting a little shaky. Gee, you're just on the bus. Have you put any time in practice? I heard that. Yes, sir. I'll hang out there. My God. I need something else. They said that was the week. They said, my God. We sold some papers this week. Can you get them back again? Thank you. Thank you. Don't do politics in the paper. There's too many. Oh, don't turn your back to the audience. That was preacher one-on-one. That was preacher one-on-one. When all I had was my black suit and my King James and my discipline of the AME church, and that was that. There are too many people out here who do that well. Arden, I'm going to tell on Arden. If you tell Arden, you can tell Arden. Arden was kind of concerned. He never said it, but there's a character on, used to be on Saturday Night Live called Nat X. Anybody know Nat X? Yeah. So Nat X was, I can't think of his name. Somebody call it for me. Chris Rock. But Nat X will say, well, I only got 15 minutes because the man wouldn't give me a half hour. Now, you have to thank Rodney Ogle for this, because if you remember way back, Chad, it was a whole page almost. Come on now, you can tell the truth. It was a whole page. God as I See God in 29 volumes every Saturday. And Rodney Ogle said to me one day, Mike, Pastor, whoever, really, let's try 550. Of course, the rebellion in me, I do 555. But, you know, I have received so many writing jobs, right, for a magazine in Indianapolis now. All I had to say was 550. Bang, you're hired. And I joke with Rodney about that because, I mean, he was serious. Because he's tired of, like, man, tired of reading this mess. You know, you got a month of articles, this one here. You think this is the Mike Carson newspaper or what? Yeah, with justice. Any other questions? You better get me now. I don't know much, but I'll talk. Going once, going twice. I see, going twice. No, going three times. Four. That might be a job for me. Rex, I might be able to be a, what they do. $39 over here, $39 over here. Yes. Sold to the distinguished man with the mustache. Brothers, it's been a joy and honor, and I mean that really, and not in the words of Groucho Marx, but in the words of Mike Carson. It has been an honor and joy to be with you. And on this day, this August day in March, I would even be a part of an organization who would have me as a member. There, my bishop, there he is. I felt the robe coming. They'll get up and pull the robe and they'll say, son.
I don't have a clock. Somebody broke it.
My clock broke too.
That's happened.
Isn't that doesn't happen?
Yeah, happens.
Oh, I got more time. Huh? Oh, no.
I want to take an opportunity here. Pastor Mike is busy. Busy schedule, and he's taken some time out to share this message with us, and I'm going to ask you to do something.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you to pray over this room that they do what you preached on today, that they share their message, that they start relationships, that they become the mentors that they need to be, that they become the accountability partners that they need to be.
Yes, sir. I have a joke after the prayer. Just touch somebody. Now, y'all gonna leave the sisters out there. Somebody need to go up there and touch them, or y'all need to come here. Either y'all need to come in, or they need to go there. Either you're too far away, or... So they touch each other. Okay, that's good. Now Jason, he knows. He knows. God, we thank you for this opportunity to share your word. We thank you, God. When iron gets with iron, we become more sharp because we share our experiences with each other, God. God, give us more courage to go across the room. God, give us more transparency that we can share our successes and our faults, God. God, give us more courage that when you tell us to talk with someone, that we go and talk with them, God. God, help us to be even better role models, God, in the image of those who we used to see when we were young, God. Help us to be like and even better, God. Help us, God. Help us, God, to try to knit the community called Beloved that Dr. King spoke on and wrote on, God. Help us to be... to live by the motto that Mr. Rogers spoke on, that we are one of the helpers, because he said, look for the helpers, because they're all around. Help us to understand, God, that while it seems simple and how this seems simplistic, I believe Jesus said that one must come as a child. So no matter how much theology we can weave, let us be able to just tell people, God loves you. In the midst of your mess, God loves you. When you're on the mountaintop, that God loves you, that God cares for you. And though you've been broken, I can fix you brand new because I'm the potter. And I can make you brand new again. Be there a brother or sister here today going through, and we are going to go through because your word says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Let us be able to be assured that Jesus also says, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome even the world. We ask you, God, for these and the blessings that we desire. We look for the Ephesians 3:20 blessings, God, because we know you can bless us exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever dream of, think of, ask for. And it's not just about money. Peace of mind, security, and more love. Because finally, in the gospel, according to the Beatles, love is all you need. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, let me tell you this now. You know, I'm asking for a good cause. Now, you guys are too young to remember the Beverly Hillbillies. So when you get your checkbook out, you remember when Jed would get his checkbook out? And who was that man with him always when he got a checkbook out? Phil Silvers?